I want to welcome now the author of a great book called In Strangers' Arms, The Magic of the Tango. This book has been endorsed by the National Academy of Tango in Buenos Aires. It has marvelous reviews. The author is Beatriz Duhovden. Beatriz is not only an author, she is also a PhD in psychology and is private practice in psychoanalytical psychotherapy, and has also worked as a clinical psychologist in many places, including the Department of Psychiatry and Neurology at Mount Sinai Medical Center in Chicago, Illinois. So it is my pleasure to introduce Beatriz Duhovne. Welcome to the Tango Spot.
Well, thank you, Gregory.
I wanted to, I'm glad you're here today, and I'd like to start out the interview by finding out, how did you become involved with tango?
Great question. I believe that I became involved with tango when I was born. I was born in a culture that loves tango. And I'm talking about music. I mean, tango has its dance, its music, and its lyrics. It's a complete art that involves these three dimensions. So I grew up in a home where the radio played tangos, where my father, who was an immigrant from Spain, never failed to listen to certain radio programs. One of my earliest poignant memories is watching him listen to tangos of the Alfredo de Angelis Orchestra in Radio El Mundo at 8:15 p.m. every day, and being amazed by his total concentration. Obviously, it was a music that touched the immigrants, and he was an example of that. So tango is very entangled with my growing up in a culture that loves tango, and with my love for my father. I cannot separate my love for my father from my love of tango. And I cannot separate my love of tango from my love of Buenos Aires and the Porteña culture. Porteña, for those who are not familiar with the word, refers to the city of Buenos Aires. Porteños and Porteñas are the native people born in the port city of Buenos Aires. So I am one of them. I'm a Porteña with a second culture, having lived in the United States most of my life. So I think this answers your question of how my love of tango began when I was born.
That's great. Now, one of the things I'm fascinated by is your book. Not only the book itself, but also the title of the book. So what was the reason behind the book? What made you want to say, okay, I really want to write a book about tango that was this deep?
All right. I think there are two questions in your question. One has to do why the title of Strangers, and the other one, why are the reasons for my wanting to write a book. The title of Strangers came at the very end of my six-year project, the 6 years that took to write the book. It wasn't a concept that I started writing. It wasn't an important concept, but page after page, chapter after chapter, I realized how the protagonist of many of the events and many of the vignettes that other dancers wrote for the book at my request involved strangers, and how tango's quintessential, the dance, I'm talking about the dance now, but its quintessential essence has to do with the fact that two people who do not know one another embrace each other in an intimate embrace, very close embrace. By intimate, I don't mean sexual. Sometimes that takes a different meaning in the United States. For Tenyo's intimate means that feeling of a humanness. So there is a whole set of dynamics that are set in motion by the fact that we can hug each other, communicate without words in this wonderful language of silence, in the language of the body. We communicate with the world when we are born. It's the same language without words. So that responds perhaps to the part of your question about the stranger. Shall we talk about the reasons I wrote the book now?
Yes, please. That would be great. Thank you.
Well, you know, there are so many motivations for a certain behavior. That's something that we psychologists know. It's like psychology 101. If you do X, probably there are 10 reasons why you do X. So the question here is, why did I write that book? I think there are many, many reasons. Unconsciously, I realized as I was writing the book that I probably wanted to get in touch with my roots. But of course, that was not a conscious reason for me when I started. I think that my conscious reasons started developing when I entered the subculture of tango world in the United States, traveling to festival, observing, talking to people, and later when I entered the Tangopolis of Buenos Aires for the first time in the 90s. I meditated about what was going on in the subculture of tango, both in the United States and in Buenos Aires. And I began to gradually see it not only as a subculture, but as a counterculture, as an anthropological phenomenon never studied as such from this point of view. I wanted to write about this fascinating world, about its people, about tango poetry, about the places of tango, both in the United States and in Buenos Aires. I was also highly impressed by the power of the dance as I observed it at a personal level by watching how the dance consumes people's lives. I asked why, and the epilogue of the book answers these questions. At a international level, observing the world foothold of the dance added fuel to this project. Few dances, understand, achieve the level of universality that tango has achieved. And tango has been universal really early, shortly after its inception. Why, I ask? What's in tango's veins that touches people all over the world, regardless of age, religion, nationality, ethnicity, social class, you name it? So these were some powerful questions. With them, I started my journey. But there were some intellectual reasons as well, Gregory. I read all the books of tango in English back in 2006 when I began my project, and I found many books filled with errors. Most had been written by cultural outsiders who went to Buenos Aires without knowledge of the language or knowledge of the paradoxical culture of Buenos Aires. Not the best situation to understand the culture and the psychology of the porteño. Plus, the books that we have in English, by the way, most of the books we have in Spanish are filled with mythology. Tango is mythology. So there were some intellectual reasons, like this ones I'm talking about, that made me also want to add the dimension of straightening out the history of getting deeper into the poetry, which regrettably is out of the realm of understanding in foreign cultures. The poetry has a wealth of, I ended up realizing that the poetry, like the dance, is a conversation. So I wanted the book to have no errors. I gave it to two scholars, authorities in tango in Buenos Aires. I took several courses just other than the dance, that is tango music, poetry, history, etc. So see how many reasons, so many.
They always do. But you talked about, and you're talking about a universality of tango. And also you mentioned from an anthropological way, it's rooted. Could you give a few examples of that?
Yes, well, there are several anthropological aspects of this project. One is, without realizing it, I wrote what anthropologists call an ethnography. How do I know that? Because a few anthropologists who read the book wrote me and said, you wrote an ethnography of the dance. So I looked up what ethnography meant, and what it means is it's a study of a group that describes their patterns of movements, their ways of thinking, their behavior, their values. So indeed, I wrote an ethnography. So there was Professor Van Young from the University of California, San Diego, that wrote a review of my book in the back cover of it, of the book, that says that this is an ethnography. And then I had a couple of other anthropologists. Ethnography is a subject of anthropology. Okay, now the first anthropological phenomenon I saw was the phenomenon of the tango gypsies, which I devote a chapter to them. These are the people who had abandoned jobs, high-paid jobs, professional jobs, to live on the tango road. It's a migrating people that migrates from city to city, from country to country, from continent to continent. This is an anthropological phenomenon. And to me, it was amazing that I had not seen this described. So I interview in that chapter people from Turkey, Germany, the United States, another one from Lithuania, and I'm missing, not remembering some other people that live on the tango road, and we learn through them about their motivations, about what they are pursuing. And in interestingly enough, since we already touched on the subject of the strangers, one of the things this group of migrant tangueros pursues is the identity of strangers. When you are in familiar with everybody. And so you don't have this wow tango moments that people have with strangers. So everybody is seeking strangers. Anthropology in tango dealt with this when I went back to the origins of tango. I mean, this was such a rich experience for me, because I went back to the forefathers of tango, the creators of tango, in two ways: by doing field work and by doing research, researching the books, researching the history, the sociology, and researching the archives of the city of Buenos Aires. And the group of people that created this thing were such amazingly conflicted group of immigrants. All these people were displaced, all of them. The porteños were maybe not the biggest group there. The biggest group were the displaced poor immigrants from Europe and the displaced immigrants from the interior of the country, the gauchos and its descendants. Now, to get into that ethos, that anthropology, the way people felt, behaved, the way people were, that was so rich to me. And I think that the way the book tells the story, which is in first person, will convey the uniqueness of this group. I mean, tango could not have been born anywhere else, but there, in that particular place in Buenos Aires. Of personalities, diversity, political strikes, a very rebellious and creative group.
That is wonderful. And you mentioned stories. Could you perhaps give, you know, relay some of the stories to our listeners?
Well, can we start with a very emotional chapter for me, which is the chapter about Alberto Podestá. For those who are not familiar, who are listening and are not familiar with his name, I would say that Alberto Podestá is one of the few surviving singers from the golden age of tango. We dance to his voice, to his voice with different orchestras in the golden age of tango very frequently in the milongas in the United States. It just never fails to be present. His voice is considered in Buenos Aires, Alberto Podestá is considered in Buenos Aires one singer who always sang very well, no matter which orchestras he was singing with. So why is this chapter so emotive? Well, I saw in the newspaper in Buenos Aires, being there one day, that he was going to be interviewed at a place called La Viruta, where famous milonga happens at night, but this program was going to be in the afternoon. There was a small group of people. I entered the room and I feel this instant connection with this man. I felt an umbilical cord was connecting me with him, although I was in the back rows of the group, and and he probably couldn't even see me. At the end of the interview, I got up, moved towards him, extending my two arms. And he extended his two arms and put my arms into his arms. And from this meeting of hands, from this connection, a chain of events began taking place throughout the world that was unstoppable. And 3 months after that meeting, the last chain of events went back to Alberto Podestá, and a circle was complete. I don't know how much detail to get into because that's an entire chapter.
No, I think it is absolutely fascinating, this complete circle that you've come through from, you know, discovering your early roots and your early interests right through to this dynamic relationship with Podestá.
Perhaps two things I would say, that it was very powerful to me because I realized that he was one of the voices in the radio when my father was listening to the radio and I was a child. And two, because there were many serendipitous things that happened there. Like, for example, when I returned to the United States, he gave me a present in a little brown bag. And when I got to the apartment, it was a never-published CD of the Glostora Tango Club, where he was one of the voices. And that was another program my father used to listen to, and I used to listen to. So that was highly emotive to me because he didn't know that about me, and he came with that present. And the other thing I want to say is that the connections that happened through that experience, and that's why I called the chapter 4 Weeks and a Lifetime. Alberto Podestá. I feel so thankful to Keith Elshaw from Montreal because he helped complete the chain. He wanted to Alberto Podestá to have one of his recordings after he cleaned it up. And somehow we managed to have Alberto Podestá receive that recording, and that's how the chain was completed.
Oh, fascinating. There's so many fascinating aspects to tango that happens to people everywhere throughout the world. The universality of it all. The way you can just go to any country, anywhere in the world, and speak tango. You don't have to speak the native language. And you can dance and communicate to each other through that dance. It is, sometimes it just takes me away.
Yes. We can take it for granted, or we can say, wow. And I think you're saying, wow.
Wow, absolutely.
And but, I know you're going to have this experience with your radio program. You are going to be connected to the entire world. You're going to develop friendships. It's going to be so interesting.
I just am looking forward to it. I'm not, with open arms. In the arms of a stranger, in a stranger's arms, I'm just ready for it to happen. But also along with this, tango, how do you see tango evolving?
I see that tango will continue to grow because tango really is more than a dance. It is an activity that fulfills profound human needs in us. You know, we live in the 21st century. It fulfilled the needs of the people that created it in the 1880s. I think my views of the tango embrace is the people at that particular point in time felt displaced in a world that they didn't belong to, that they were trying to get adjusted to, and they created a home. The embrace was their home. And I think that we in the 21st century are in the same predicament, and tango gives us a home, a home, a warm home that is such a so different from the regular society of our times, where the philosophy that any gain is good demands that we look outside for direction, that we put our status ahead of our hearts, that we treasure possessions over human connections. And what we lose in those exchanges are our hearts and our values. And I think that tango offers an opposite value system. This is a topic in itself. I began discovering that tango is a value system, and that's what I call it, a counterculture also, when I was writing the chapters on lyrics, and then I developed further this notion in the epilogue of the book. One of my big findings, what I propose is that we have a need to be at a level with others. We live in a society that divides people. And tango fulfills that need, because in the world of tango, we do not discriminate. All dance with young, black with white, Christian with non-Christian. It's a very inclusive world. Another thing, maybe, that I would like to see develop, and it seems that festivals would be the appropriate setting for that, they could add, if they would add an academic track to their activities, I think that that would be fantastic, because there are many inquisitive tangueros in this country who would appreciate a forum where they could come together, and we don't have that forum yet.
No, not yet, but that is an interesting concept and idea that, you know, we have to reach out and carry that banner and talk to some of the, not only professional dancers who have influences at festivals, but also the festival organizers, to go beyond the dance and to go into this academic piece of tango that really impacts everything for us too. How about, you know, one of the things I always like to find out about is projects. This book was obviously an incredible labor of love for you, as well as tango and discovering your roots and the circularity that happened between your father listening when you were a young child to you meeting Podestá. What other projects do you have coming up that you could tell us about?
An immediate project is to format for publication a paper of mine read at the American Psychological Association convention last April 2012 in New Mexico. It is a study of the communication between strangers, of that communication we were talking about that is nonverbal, somatic, universal. I need to format that and submit it to a journal. I'm writing chronicles at the time. I started doing that in Buenos Aires 3 months ago. Of topics of interest to me. As I develop an interest, I write a short 500 words or so chronicle. One is how the cults of the dance environment develop in the first place. And the other one is about two schools of thought that I found talking with various dance scholars, dance thinkers in Buenos Aires. One school of thought considers most of the academics agreed that tango was born in around the 1880s. Some considered it was born around the 1850s. So I'm pursuing that project, trying to get some light as to what are the reasons people that think it was born in the 1850s are. I'm very interested in Argentine films and began to build a collection. I'm going to do something about that in terms of what can we learn from these films from the 30s and 40s about tango, about its culture, etc. So that's for right now.
Oh, you have a lot on your plate. Oh, that is wonderful. And I'd like everyone to go to the website www.instrangersarms.com, where there are just some fascinating letters and articles that Beatrice wrote through her experiences. And you could also order the book, In Strangers' Arms, The Magic of the Tango. And I just want to thank you personally for taking the time to come on and talk to us about your experience, about your book, and what you have planned in the future. But I know one thing I have planned is that you and I are going to dance. ¿Quieres bailar con vos?
Sí. Right away. Please.
I want to thank you once again, Beatrice Duchovny, for gracing our radio station. And please be well. And we look forward to you coming back when you have some of your other projects ready and we can discuss them.
Gregory, and I want to thank you for what you're doing for tango in the United States. I mean, this is a pioneering effort, and I think that you are so multifaceted as a person that you're the right person to do it. And in the name of all the tangueros of that listen to you, I want to thank you for it.
God, thank you. You see me blushing. No, you can't see me blushing. Thank God I'm on radio. Be well, Beatrice, and I look forward to seeing you. And you won't be a stranger when we're in each other's arms now. That's nice.
That's nice, yes.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.